praise him, praise him. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him, praise him. Praise him till the sun goes down. Praise him, praise him. Oh, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him, praise him, praise him till the sun goes down. Love him, love him, oh, love him in the morning, love him in the noon. Love him, love him. Love him till the sun goes down. Love him, love him. Oh, love him in the morning, love him in the moonlight. Love him, love him. Love him till the sun goes down. Worship him. Worship in the noontime. Worship him. Worship him. Worship when the sun goes down. Worship him. Worship him. Worship him. Oh, worship in the morning. Worship in the noontime. Worship him, worship till the sun goes down. Serve him, oh, serve him in the morning, serve him in the noon. Serve him till the sun goes down.
He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. is our peace. He is our peace. He has broken down and we walk. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for we care it for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. He has broken down as we walk. He is our peace. He is our peace. Broken down as we walk. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, we care it for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for we care it for you. He is our peace. He is our broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. is our peace.
Amen. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible tonight, I'd like to have you open up to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And God's good. There's something I want to share with you that is just incredibly beautiful. And as Pastor used to call it, one of those keys of understanding. Little nuggets of glory. Praise God. 1 John. Now this is definitely one passage of Scripture I encourage that you read slow. And what we're going to be sharing this evening in the Word of the Lord, just let God open your understanding. Take it home, chew on it a while, pray over it, and let God expand your understanding should you not grab anything here tonight or if somewhere it's in the mix. Amen? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested. Very big key word here. Manifested. And we have seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. Another key phrase. And was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray that you just bless the reading of the Word and bless our hearts and our minds and help us to understand and just glean from you. Oh, hallelujah. Bless every soul. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'm going to come back to this passage, so hold your finger in it and don't lose it. And we're going to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 in the Word of the Lord. Appreciate the Word of God. There are key words and there are things that John wrote in both epistles that are very key. And they're very big and they're very wonderful in the Word of God. See, some people take it upon themselves to learn a subject because they're trying to prove something. Others take upon it to search a particular topic in Scripture because they're hungry to know about it. And so there's a big difference. There's a big difference in learning about a topic because you feel like you have to be on the defensive or you feel like you have to prove it. But there's really no fun in doing that, you know. I don't want to spend my life fighting against Trinitarians or fighting against the oneness crowd. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, I'm just saying that they are two popular words out there in the religious world where people use these words to try to define what they see or know or have learned about God, right or wrong. And to one, He's a three-person deity, and to some of the others in the realms of Pentecost, He's a one-person deity. And both sides are incorrect, but both sides have a word which describes them. And what we don't want to become is we don't want to be caught in the middle of the tug-of-war between the two. Because neither word is in the Bible. Now, the concept of one is, and the concept of the other isn't. But again, when we're reading things in the Word of God, please understand something. Jesus, His desire is to reveal Himself unto you. Not show you something so you can go and box somebody's ears in with it. Okay? John said, these things we write that your joy may be full, not so you can have debate material. And there's just a big, big difference, right? God doesn't want us postured with a fight other people mentality. When the disciples saw others casting out devils in Jesus' name, and they were doing what they were doing, they said, shall we stop them? Because they're not part of our inner circle. And Jesus said, leave them alone. They're not against us, they're for us.
And if somehow we could adopt that attitude with everything that we have become and everything that we know, we'll stop this mindset where we feel like we have to defend what we know. I mean, it's enough that there are times when we're going to have to speak up about it in order to save some, in order to jolt some, in order to stir some people's hearts. Like tonight, this message will do that. But we want to do it in such a way that we create a hunger, even if it makes them angry, even if it causes them to get vehement, even if they don't understand it and they say, you're wrong, at least we've done our part in the right way. So that we cannot be accused of being mean-spirited with truth. Okay. All that to read a couple of verses. Praise God. There's so much to say in between the scriptures. As one preacher said, this is in between the scriptures. There's so much to say, and I try to... Man, it's like eating an Oreo, you know. Just a lot of cream in between those two top and bottom layers. Praise God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was with God. Remember what we read in 1 John. That which was from the beginning, that was with the Father. And the Word was God. Now those that do not want to know God try to change Scripture because of their hard heart, and they say, and the Word was a God. And that's all I'm going to say about that tonight, because it's not worth wasting a lot of preach time over it. You can't please everybody. You'll never reach everybody. So don't stop trying to reach everybody. We're trying to reach those whose hearts are open unto the Lord, whoever they may be. That's our target audience, if you will. Man, woman, boy, or girl, no matter what color, creed, race, religion, it makes no difference. We're reaching for the hungry hearts, for those looking to know God. Remember, He's seeking to save such that want to worship. When Jesus said, who do you say that I am? It's because He was fishing. It's because God wanted to reveal Himself. And so when we bring this topic to the table and we decide that we're going to talk about it, it's because God's fishing. He's not fighting, He's fishing. Amen? He's not out to destroy, He's out to save. Amen. He's out to seek and to save. He's out to deliver people's understanding into the perfect understanding of God. That's His desire. And I want to be married to His desire. I never want to handle the Word of God deceitfully or maliciously. Amen. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. God did not call me or you to bully people with the gospel. The preaching of the gospel is to save them that believe. Regardless of what doctrine we cross, what theologies we might clash with over the truth. You just preach the truth. Preach it in love. Preach it in a good spirit. Preach it with hunger. Let people, even if they're wrong and they think you're wrong, one thing they will never be able to deny is that you love them. And that you want them to see it. That you're so passionate about what you are and about what you know that they are drawn to at least consider it. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. What? The Word. All things were made by Him, the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. God made all things by His Word, right? By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made. In the Word, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Praise the Lord. And let's skip down here for time's sake. Well, I guess not. Let's just read it. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the life in the Word is light. And remember what Jesus said in John chapter 12 as well as John chapter 8. He said, I am the light of the world. And He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then He said, believe the light. As long as you have the light, as long as the light is with you, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. Talking about Himself. So in this everlasting life, in the life that's in the Word, is light. That's why Psalm 119, 105 says it like this: Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You can't have light if you don't have life. If you have life, you have light. If you're walking in darkness, it's because you're walking in unrighteousness, in disobedience to God. There's no life and there's no light, there's no direction in disobedience. But in obedience, there's life and there's light. So if you want direction, if you want the light of God to shine in your heart by the word of God, you've got to get the everlasting life inside of you. Amen. We've got to get the word of God abiding in our soul, because in that word is the light that we so desperately need. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot feel the goosebumps of a church service or a great conference and all of that. All of that can, if you will, die away, so to speak. It's kind of like Paul said, there's a time when, you know, you're speaking with tongues and then it ceases. But after the tongues have ceased, love of God remains. That's all he was saying in 1 Corinthians 13, trying to teach a congregation that he helped establish how to have church and how to have order so that things could be done proper. But after that, all of that stuff has done, and maybe you're not feeling the goosebumps and you're not feeling the exuberance and the carting away of the atmosphere of the saints. Even when that's not present and you feel life and you feel the storms of life or the challenges of life or just everyday living, you're not without something. What you have inside of you is the Word. And you've got life inside of you, and in that life is light, so that even if it becomes dark, amen, you don't need another conference to help you get light again. You've got light already inside of you. Amen. And it's all because of who He really is. Now, you know as well as I know, He's one God. And Jesus, in the days of His flesh, prayed, Father, that they may be one as we are one. Because you cannot separate the Word from the one who speaks the Word. Don't be confused because of the veil. But the prayer was that they may be one. If you want to use the word oneness, the proper way to use the word is to not try to explain that there's one person in the Godhead. There are no persons in the Godhead. God is a spirit, not a man. There's no flesh in heaven. There's not even a man, Christ Jesus, in glory. And if that complicates your Pentecostal theology, well, look at the Word of God. And I'm not here to fight. I'm just here to say that we don't know Christ after the flesh. 1 Corinthians 5:16. Though we have known Him, yet from henceforth know we Him no more. Remember, Jesus said, Mary, don't touch me. I'm not yet glorified. But that body that did not see corruption and that soul that was not left in the grave was glorified. And that's why we can say, therefore, next verse, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God is not a man. Christ is God, and He's not a man. Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost, and He's not a man. And He fell on all them that heard the word. A man didn't fall upon them. In Acts chapter 8, they were only baptized in Jesus' name, for as yet He, the Holy Ghost, was not fallen upon them. Praise the Lord. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. In other words, what all I'm trying to say is, there's no flesh and glory because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. The veil served its purpose. But Jesus said, this veil must go away. If this veil does not go away, that which is within the veil will not come. And what's on the other side of the veil is the Word. Praise the Lord. It's the Father. It's the glory. It's the life. Praise the Lord. And that's what He came to unleash to the world. Amen. He was a walking veil. And that's why in John 12 He cried out and said, He that believeth on Me believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. He was saying, you, when you believe on the veil, you're believing on that which is within the veil. Hallelujah. I am what was with the Father. John 17, before the world was, He was the Word. And that's what makes this one God message so one God. I mean, it's more one God than all the Pentecostals in the UPC understand one God to be. Or in any other Jesus name apostolic organization in the world, amen, who really harps on the fact that He's one God. And that was not a stone against anybody in any organization. I'm just saying a lot of times in the realms of the independent world or the organizational world that the message is what it is, but sometimes for some it's the message for the wrong reasons. He's one God. Praise God. He's always been one God. Amen. But He is one God so that our joy may be full. Amen. Praise God. And what He is, He shared with the world. Amen. He didn't share another separate entity of Himself. He shared Himself with the world. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is awesome stuff. I'm just trying to find the right words to express this one God message. Amen. This is so... For me, it's a personal thing. I grew up a Trinitarian. When I came to church at the age of 14 and in the realms of Pentecostalism, if you want to call it that, which doesn't mean a whole lot these days. It's a generic word that could mean anything. So I'm not downplaying Pentecostal, the word apostolic. I'm just saying when we say Pentecostal here, we're talking about the Holy Ghost. And the Jewish feast of Pentecost when God poured His Spirit upon all flesh. That's all we mean when we talk about Pentecost. Others may mean a whole lot of other stuff. And that's fine as long as it's the Word. And the Word is life and light. And if it falls under that category, we're Pentecostal. If it don't, we ain't. We're Christians. We'll just go back to saying we're children of the Most High God. Amen? Amen. And I'm not being, a heretic here. I'm just saying phrases and terms don't mean a whole lot. That's all. In our day and age, Christian, the word Christian is so generic, it could mean 101,000 different things. Okay, but I can't get on all of that. Gotta stick with this. So, and the light shines in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. I'm not moving too fast, am I? Praise the Lord. It just feels fast. And I'm trying to put something out so that you can chew on it, go pray about it, and then you come back and I'll be the one sitting there taking notes. Praise God. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That all men through John. Remember, John was a forerunner of Christ. To point the way. To say, yes, He's coming. He whose shoes latched, I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. He's coming. It's important to listen to people when they say, the Lord's coming. Because He does show up. Yeah. We've been preaching for a long time about the coming of the Lord. There's not a whole lot of people that believe in it anymore, I guess. I don't hear it talked about a whole lot, but we believe in it. And all the churches of God around the world and around this country believe in it. And they still preach and teach it. And I thank God for all of them. I thank God for all of those apostolic preachers and those old timers. We've got a lot of them on goodpreaching.com, and I'm happy about it. Yeah. Amen. And you're happy about it. We've got people emailing us saying we're happy about it too. Amen. Especially when they find out we got archives of cassette tapes and it's the only copy in the world. We got it. And we're going to share it with the world. Because it's those types of preachers like Brother Rutledge's dad, pastor, his grandpa, and others of their circle, like the name Brother Lumpkin and all the ones that ever visited 601 in Dakota and Arkansas, preaching, and I could talk about Brother Gamblin, Brother Bradley, and Brother Mike, you know more of the names than I do, but men of God who preached the gospel, I'd get unloose sometimes in the pulpit, man, praise God, they just preached their guts out, like Jesus is coming right after I'm done, and I thank God we live in a world where that's still happening. I don't want to become mediocre. I don't want the service to turn into a little concert with a couple of Baptist prayers and you can go home now. No, that's not Pentecost. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. That's not one God either. I don't want to be a part of that. That's weak. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help me. That was the true light. Verse 9, was light of every man that cometh into the world. Praise God. He's never without something to say. I have to say it almost in every service. Praise God. He just blows my mind. Just blows my mind. He's got so much to say. And I just hope and pray unto God we've got enough heart to listen. Amen. So I'm just here to give you a good Bible study. And I'm trying not to shout too much and just go through this, because I really want to drop something into your heart and mind that will help you escape all of the stuff around you in the religious world. So you don't even have to be bothered by it. You can just come to revelation and understanding that some of us struggled to get to, because stuff was married to our understanding that wasn't so good. Amen. But we get to be in an atmosphere where it's taught, and you just get to gobble it up like the hungry, hungry hippo game, and just gobble up all those marbles. And we get to do it without anybody trying to mess it up. Praise God. Okay, the true light. He was in the world. Now we're still talking about the Word. 10 minutes later, that fluff. I can't get away from that cream. Praise God, in between the Oreo wafers there. Praise God. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Now let's read this, because John is writing post-Holy Ghost. He's writing years after all of these events, lots of revival, lots of people being born of God. And he's writing back and forth, remembering these things, writing from a remembrance standpoint, okay? And he's saying, remembering the Word. And it's awesome for him. There I go, staying. Awesome for him is he had the memories of what the Lord Jesus looked like. The memories of walking with Him. And now he's writing something beyond it. He's writing now with understanding of who He walked with. When He walked with Him, He didn't have that understanding. It wasn't quite there yet. They didn't quite grab who He was. They were marveling at the fact that He rose up on that boat and said, "Peace, be still." And the storm said, "Yes, sir." And they said, "What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey Him." He's the Word. Hallelujah. The Word in its temple stood up and said, "Quiet." And the ocean said, "I know that voice." Praise. The wind said, "Oh, we better back off." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now John knew he was in the world. He's talking about the Word. And this is what I want to get ingrained in here. Just give me a few minutes. This is what I want you to get in your mind. I want that the Word phrase to get stuck here and here. Because you'll begin to see things differently when you start looking for the Gospels and you start reading the conversation and you start reading the context in which Jesus puts Himself in when He refers to the Father and the fact that He's the Son of Man. And so that when He says things like, "No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." See, revelation comes not just with how we might interpret that verse, but remember what the Scripture says, Psalm 2, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry." There's a way to kiss the Son. And He's not talking about physical kiss. He's talking about a response, a reaction to. Jesus came preaching, believe on Me. Whosoever believeth in Me, right, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Because He knew who He was, but He was trying to help others around Him know who He was. Right. Saying it almost blatantly, praise God, "I and Father are one." Yes. What do you mean, "Show us the Father"? Philip, when you've seen Me, you've seen the invisible God. But He was saying something just beyond saying the Father looks like a man. It's not what He was saying. So the Word was in the world, and the world was made by the Word, and the world didn't know the Word. That's why Jesus testified saying, "If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also." So all you word freaks, you act like you know the law of Moses, but had you known the Word, you'd have known Me. That's why Simeon could hold the baby before the baby was able to utter any of the Word, before the baby grew up old enough to astonish lawyers in the temple at the age of 12. Simeon, by the Holy Ghost, was able to hold that baby and say, "Now have My eyes. Now have Mine eyes. Hallelujah. Seen Thy salvation and the glory of Thy people Israel. Now have Mine eyes seen." What was He saying? "I'm holding life in My arms." Praise God. The Word that holds Me, I'm holding it. the word that revealed to me, I would not taste death till I saw the Lord Christ. I'm holding the word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, the manifested word. Not saying he was holding God. All you critics. Big word. Manifested. He's holding that which came out from the Father in his arms. He came unto his own, the word did, and his own rejected him. But as many as received him, the word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And to them that believe on his name, even is in italics. Not here to create a big issue, but it says, even to them that believe on his name. But the true thing is, to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. So it's more direct than the even implies. Okay, so no man knoweth the Father save the Son. But here's the thing. We're talking about whatsoever you do in word or deed. I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff out here tonight. Just bear with me a minute. Going a million miles a minute. But whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. If you want revelation, then you must be obedient to the plan of God. You cannot not obey God and expect to understand that He is one. I mean, you can't be baptized ignoring His name and expect to comprehend God. You won't get to the revelation that way. The Son of God, how He reveals the Father is through repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that's how ultimately the Son reveals the Father. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. That is our way unto the Father. Glory. You don't get to the Father by not being baptized in Jesus' name and by embracing a theology that is designed to destroy the importance of Jesus' name. Well, of course it is. That's why there's nameless baptisms. It's all about the removal of Jesus' name. That's the whole idea of dissecting Father God, Son God, Holy Ghost God, and creating a trilogy or a Trinity effect to His eternal power in Godhead. One of the biggest designs of that is to confuse everybody and to remove His name. It's the only thing it accomplishes. Ultimately, it causes people to not comprehend who He is. And His name that comes along with who He is. His name was Jesus long before Gabriel ever uttered the name to Mary or to Joseph. Okay, and the Word, so skip to 14 because I'm running out of time. And the Word was made flesh. Let's read it real slow. And the Word was made flesh. Now, some translations say it like this, and it's not quite right. But the idea is there. See, the wordplay can make a whole difference in how something's understood. And that's what's dangerous about new translations is they, when you get further away from the original translation, as far as how they compiled the authorized King James Version, you get away from the authenticity of the origination of words. And then you start downplaying to simplify it. But the problem is you get further away from the meaning behind the words when you do that. So some translations say, and the Word became flesh. And that's, it sounds good. The intention is good, but it's not quite right. Because God never became something He never was. And stopped being what He was to become something else. And so it's important, because the theology, and this is why I don't like reading this, like, in the beginning was the Logos. And they try to get all Greek-y about it. And I understand if the word is in the Greek, Logos, and that's all fine and good, but the way it gets taken and then taught cheapens the whole idea. It's just better to leave it as is, even if the original writings as far as Greek have logos, and it means what it means in its original writing. But what happens is when it's translated in English, and some people like to get kind of educated with it, they start to go another direction with the meaning, and they start changing it. Okay, for example, like the word diet, 800 years ago, just meant way of life. But today it means starve yourself so you can lose fat. You see how it can change meanings? And the same thing can happen with other words that come from a derivative of Greek and Latin. It changes, and you can see that just doing word studies. It changes over time and over the course of how people use the word. And what we want to be careful of is that we don't change it so that we don't miss what's really being said. Whatever was said in the beginning is what we need to have said now, because it's what creates stable, established, always abounding walks with God. And people able to live right. Amen? Praise God. Okay, and the Word was made flesh. So read it, and you pray about it, and then you meditate upon it, and you can hear what's being said. You can hear the difference. And the Word was made flesh, and the Word became flesh. You can feel and hear the fact that's saying two different things. Okay, when it says, and the Word was made flesh, expresses that which was invisible was made visible. It was made touchable, seeable, experienceable, personal, amen, and personable. Praise God. The Word which we could not see with our eyes, that we could not handle with our hands, yet it made itself possible to be handled. Praise God. It was made flesh. Hallelujah. It partook of flesh and blood. It took the seed of Abraham. What did? The Word did. That's why the scripture says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of God. And this God was manifest in the flesh. See how it said? See that word? There comes that word again. And Paul's saying it this time, not just the Apostle John. And the Word was, right, manifest. God was manifest in the flesh. Seen, declared. No man has seen God at any time, John 1:18, but the Son, which is in the bosom or the midst of the Father, He had declared Him. And the last time we checked Scripture, the only thing in the midst of the Father is the Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not an individual in glory as a man pre-existing before he was ever born. No, flesh never came until Mary conceived. Amen. Before that, pure word. That's why he's crying out from that temple of flesh saying, glorify thou me with thine own self. With the glory I had before the world began. Before the world began. Before there was a beginning. Amen. The Word of God doesn't have a beginning. And that's hard for us to comprehend. But when we read in the beginning has a relatable reference point to us and to the creation. God don't have a beginning, a lineage, nor an ending. All of that's in reference to us. In reference to a plan, in reference to a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's written for our sake. In the beginning. There's too much here. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Remember what we're reading in consistency. We'll get back to 1 John. I'll try to wrap this up. Just give you a little bit of time. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word, which is God. So putting it all together, it's safe to say, and God the Father dwelt among us. Praise God. That's not so difficult. That's not another deity. That's not a separate deity of the deity. It's not a little God by another big God and then a mystery God. That's not being taught here. That's nowhere in Holy Scripture. God would consider that theology an idolatry. And He would say, like He said about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, that thing which I hate. God hates the doctrine of the Trinity, but He loves the Trinitarian. He hates any doctrine that changes the glory of God into something made like unto man, and that condescends to man's understanding. God's not going to bow His knee to your doctrine or my doctrine or theology. He only bows His knee to His own. He's not interested in your theology. He's interested in His. Amen? Amen. He's not going to be mean to you. He's not going to have respect for you. But we don't counsel God. Amen. We don't tell God what we want to believe. Amen. We don't redefine His divine Godhead. We don't. And even if you try, you don't change it. So it was God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was made flesh. I didn't say God became flesh. And the Word was made flesh. In so much that He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But being found in the fashion or the form of a man, He humbled Himself. Amen. And He would never draw attention to flesh. But my Father, which is greater than I. Because He was flesh. That's why He wasn't made a physical king. He was not going to have, even though He was sinless, He was not going to have man glorify flesh. That's why He took that flesh, that body, that temple, that veil, to Calvary's cross, and He tore it in two. Praise God. His body was the veil. And when that body got broken on Calvary's cross, as far as the law was concerned, that's what broke down the middle wall. That's what Ephesians 2 is talking about. He broke down the middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. And now it was everybody can come into the holiest of all. Praise God. I took the veil away so that not one high priest only could go in once with a sacrifice every year, but Jesus Christ being the high priest, the manifested high priest, after the order of an endless priesthood, walked unto Calvary's cross, praise God, walked into the holiest, amen, after the resurrection, it says, done. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost upon all. Release the Word. And this is powerful stuff. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of what? The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The word beget references the daddy. The daddy continuing the lineage. The daddy creating with mama the offspring. Praise the Lord. You beget. That's why daddies beget. It's never referenced to the female. More, it's more so the male. And often the word is used in business about like success begets success. In other words, it creates, it spawns. And so when we read the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, it was the Lord bringing His own Word. Praise God. Hallelujah. The only begotten. There's only one thing that could come out from God. That's His Word. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we don't need these songs to talk about He was half of Mary and half of the Father and the blood. No, listen. He was completely from the Father. Mary was just an incubator. He didn't come out with a touch of Mary in Him. Praise the Lord. She was a virgin going in, virgin coming out. And stopped being one when her and Joseph got together after the Messiah was born. Praise the Lord. He borrowed her tomb. And in that tomb, the Scripture says, that holy thing which is formed inside of you shall be called the Son of the Highest. Shall be called what? The Word manifest. Praise God. The invisible now becoming visible. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Word. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. And this is where all, see, my God, I'm talking too much. This is where, but here, remember Pastor used to talk about keys of understanding and these nuggets. When they hit, it's kind of like a pinball machine. It just bounces off of all the other Scriptures. And they all light up. Boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden you're staring at a big constellation of Scripture that before this little one key opened up and it just went boom inside of your soul. And you saw, you couldn't see all the lights. You might have known all those Scriptures, but all of a sudden they didn't light up to become the Little Dipper until that one verse of Scripture, until that one key unlocked the door and all of a sudden heaven lighted up. Hallelujah. And you suddenly came out saying, I really am one God. I really am Jesus' name. I really am Holy Ghost filled. I am more Holy Ghost filled, Jesus' name, and one God than a whole lot of people said they are. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. You are more one God than you really understand you are. Yeah, we serve a monotheistic deity. Get over it. Praise God. We're not here to fight with anybody. And man, you can shoot at us, throw stones and say, no, God is a three person. No, no, listen. Praise God. You need to elevate. You need to let God open your understanding. Amen. So they can get into the waters of baptism. Amen. Stop trying to serve God with no name and no salvation. You don't know the Son yet. You will never know the Son of God if you never take the Son of God's name. You will never have the blood wash your soul. And the whole reason He came into this world, the whole reason the Word was manifest. You cannot be saved without Jesus' name baptism. You cannot be saved without the Holy Ghost. You cannot be saved believing in any other God but one God. Hallelujah. So don't try to be saved upon the wings of false doctrine. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. All right, let me go back and I got to finish. I got to finish just a couple more minutes if you don't mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Clap your hands. Hey, play that live thing a minute.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is to us. Hallelujah.
All right, First John, let's go back here, and I want to point out a couple more things with all the stuff we've been saying so far. God bless everybody watching. We love you. And we'd love to have your comments. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. John also wrote in the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, he called him the Word of life. On his thigh was a name written, the Word of life. For the life that's in the Word that we just read about in the Epistle of John, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. In him was life. And the Word was life, and that Word was with God. This is where I want you to piece the Scriptures together like a puzzle. Piece it all together. Don't segregate it. Don't separate it. Piece it together and just fit it together like a chain link. In the Word, which is with God, is life. And what we're showing unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Word, Jesus Christ. Just substituted the Word. I didn't change the Holy Scripture. I just substituted the Word because the Son with His Son, Jesus Christ, represents with His manifested Word. He had a relationship with His own Word. A Father-Son relationship. That which could not be seen and that which could be seen. That which was with God and that which was manifested from God. I came out from the Father, amen, to give life to the world. I am the bread which came down from heaven. There's only one bread that could ever come down from heaven, and that's the Word. Hallelujah. Praise Him.
Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Boy, oh boy, hallelujah. I'm just trying to read. I'm so glad the life was manifested. Remember, now here's where we can add other verses of Scripture, see? We can build upon it and build upon it and just piece one thing after another. In 1 John 3, he testifies that the Son of God was manifested to take away our sin. So So he could add that to, for the light was manifested, and define again why it was manifested. Because there's only one thing that could take death away, and that's life. And that life was manifested to take death away. And yet, isn't it amazing that the body, praise God, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And unto the Son, oh man, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Amen. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Why would he say unto the Son? Amen. See, people don't grab it and they don't see it. My God, obey the Lord and then you'll get to handle and you'll get to see and you'll get to experience. So that when you read that unto the Son, he says, you're not trying to visualize a separate entity from the Father, but he's saying unto the manifested Word of God, which is God and with God, that which came out, amen, out from God to deliver man back to God. Unto that, he said, thy throne, O God. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord said unto my Lord, amen. There's only one that could become my Lord, and that's the Lord. Only one that could become your Lord, and that's the Lord. He didn't create some other Lord. He said, I'll become your God. You'll become my people. I'll be your Father, and you'll be my children. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I feel like Brother Arnold. Can I have another five? Amen. What's the word here tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thy throne, O God. That which we have seen. I can stick it all together before I lose it all. It's too much to hold in one mind. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Son of God. You may have fellowship with us now. I don't know exactly who per se he's writing to. I could theorize and say he's writing to the Gentiles, because a lot of them began to in their later years interact with the Gentiles a lot. And some of their epistles, even Peter, referencing that. So it doesn't surprise me if he's saying from his standpoint to the nation that would be called by his name, a nation that didn't know him. He's saying, look, what we've got is also for you. Amen. That our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that which came out from God is the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't send somebody else down to get bumped off for us, as some would like to say it. And I'm not here to say that God died on Calvary's cross either. But there's something to be understood in the Word, when Paul testifies in Acts 20 and 28, he instructs the elders of Ephesus to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. So now that's a personal statement that God, that he's saying there, that God purchased something with his blood. Now God's not a man. So you have to be willing, you have to be willing to consider all of these verses and not run from them, because it seems like it doesn't say what you want to believe. And I've watched both people in Pentecost be guilty of this, as well as the Trinitarians be guilty of the same. You don't believe in something, then you avoid it. And you go back to the verses that you like to say it the way you want to hear it. Right? I did it early on. Why? Because it was easy. It was an easy verse. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. It's an easy one to pluck. And to use and say, well. But when you don't understand, all you can do is fight. And try to grab the scriptures that say it like you want it to be said. And they got a dozen to say it like they think they do. They've got a dozen to say it like they think they believe it. And both sides are wrong. And both sides need drastic understanding that comes from God. Praise God. And it's all in the Word. Isn't this beautiful? Doesn't it edify the soul? There's not a single fight here. There's not a single debate here. But man, you get to become a better child of God when you realize you're saved by the Word. That it was God who marched up that veil, that body that was made in the womb of Mary. That was His own blood. the Son of God, the Son of Man, that which was manifested and came out from the Lord that He begat and added flesh to. He carried that flesh to Calvary's cross. That was His own blood. That's why He was able to say, I'm He that liveth and was dead. And behold Him alive forevermore. Now, only one can say that. Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life. I've got power to take it up. And I don't sound like a second person of anybody's Trinity to me talking like that. Praise God. I have power to... I mean, John 8:58. Before Abraham was, I am. That don't sound like no second person to me. That sounds like a temple talking. So I was able to say, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. He didn't say somebody else is going to raise it up. He said, destroy it and I'll raise it up. Amen. They all they saw was a man, and they said they're confused. They thought he was talking about the physical temple. But there was a God, there was the Word speaking through lips of clay, saying, go ahead, destroy the veil, and I'll raise the veil up on the third day. Amen. Go ahead, tack me to a cross, amen, and I'll resurrect on the third day. Kill me and I'll come back to life. So it was more than the vocal cords of a man talking. It was the Word in the temple talking. And it was the Word on the third day. He was raised up by the glory of the Father. Praise God. Why? Because He was not going to leave His Word in a tomb. And don't you ever think for one moment that when your situations in life go sour and you feel like a stone's being rolled over your tomb and you're finished, don't ever think it's over. You've got the Word. Whoa, let's all stand. I just got to stop. Let's love Him. Praise God. That's why the dead in Christ shall rise first, because they've got the Word. That's why it's not over, because they've got the Word. They died with the Word. The Word's going to resurrect and we're going to see Him again with a new body. No more flesh. No more suffering. No more pain. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we love You. Lord, we love You. Oh God! Oh God! Oh God! Hallelujah! 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 God help us see You. Hallelujah! And every eye shall see Him. They shall see Him as He is. We can't do that with physical eyes, Brother Danny. That's why everybody starts interpreting the Word literally and they start thinking about physical. Well, every eye shall see Him. So we're going to see if... No, look. Praise God. We ain't going to have... These eyes ain't going. Even if we're alive when He calls it up, your body ain't going. It ain't going. Fine with us. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Hallelujah. Think about all the trouble it's caused you. Hallelujah. It ain't going. Flesh and blood cannot inherit. Look, that's why we're delivered. Oh, another subject for another time. I hate the clock. Another subject. But look, when we're converted, there's a reason why our flesh, the deeds of our body are dead. And that this humanity, we've got power to keep it in subjection. Because we are in a kingdom where the spirits of just men are made perfect. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual kingdom. And then our flesh, the deeds of it, it's subject to what we become in Christ. That is renewed day by day. Your flesh, listen, it can be quickened by the Holy Ghost, enlightened by the Holy Ghost, healed by the Holy Ghost, but it's not exactly being renewed every day like the new creature inside is. That's why you still get old no matter how apostolic you are. Your hair falls out, your skin wrinkles, you start bowing over, your hair turns colors, praise God. You start getting aches in places you didn't know you had. Amen, but that does not deter from the fact that you've got life manifested inside of you. And that once you become a new creature, that is not aging. That is not decaying. Even when you die, praise the Lord, that's what's going to come alive. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. That's why it's a personal thing, and when we remove all of the silly doctrines and we take away the cheapness of it all, we see how personal it really is. That what came to pick you up out of the gutters of sin and clean your life up was the Word. What was manifested to take away our sins, it was the Word. It was God. It was God. See, there's too much truth to ignore. You've got to just be hard-hearted to ignore all the Word of God. And His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Last time we checked, God was the Father. Malachi 2:10. Have we all not one Father? Have not one God created us? One, not two, not three. One God created us. One God. His name shall be called God the Father with us. I don't know how much more clear the Word can get than that. The Word, which is God with us. That's who Jesus is. That's what His name is all about today. Jesus' name is all about God the Father with us. God the Father. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. Do not, I'm telling you, go back to your church tonight and tell your preacher you got my baptism wrong. Put me back in there in Jesus' name. The Mighty God has a name. The Everlasting Father has a name. And when you call Jesus' name, now you're baptizing me in the name of the Father for the first time. Oh, clap your hands one more time, all you people. Thank you so much for the OT. Hallelujah. Brother Art, you got that song still in the queue, sung by Sister Lydia, Shake, Shake, Shake? Praise God. All right. You got some false doctrine to shake, shake, shake off you. Like Paul in Acts 28, I believe it was, when the snake fastened on to Paul, he shook it off into the fire. Hey, I'm not saying that we don't preach, and here's what the ignorant crowd don't get. We've been preaching tonight, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost throughout the whole day. So don't accuse us of not believing in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We believe it right. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Always has in God's math. And the idolatrous Hellenistic crowd, it means 3. Because they've got to have stuff to worship in their blatantly ignorant understanding. It's got to be multiplication. So shake it off into the fire. Call us, get a hold of somebody, so you'll be baptized in the name of God. Finally. And start believing that He's one God. He's not three persons, He's not one person, He's a spirit. Shake the devil off. Enjoy this next song. And thanks so much for being with us. Amen. God bless you.
Shake the devil off. Thank you. love lost. Take the devil lost. Oh, in the name of Jesus, take the devil lost. I devil lost, must be. Take the devil lost.